Good morning, Rock Church. It's good to be with y'all here in the building and in your homes. It's another Sunday to worship God together, and just so thankful that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thankful, really thankful for that concept in times like these. But God is so good. We've got so much to celebrate. God is supernaturally answering prayer on a regular basis. Our Wednesday evening has been, if some of you aren't zooming on, you need to zoom on. We're doing a fabulous Bible study, three Bible studies. Our youth are meeting on Zoom, our young adults are meeting on Zoom, and the rest of us are meeting on Zoom going through the Psalms. It's been wonderful. Also, this will be our fourth week of doing children. And for those of you that are here with your children, there's other resources if you're meeting online. Hey, we're good either way. We're just glad we're able to have church both in the building and in our homes. And we respect everybody's decision in this season. It's been wonderful, though, how our church across the valley and across the country is really standing for the Lord. And thank you for your faithfulness to serve. Thank you for your faithful giving and just to stay engaged. I want to challenge everybody this week, wherever you are, reach out, send somebody a text, make a phone call. How about 5 or 10 people? Because I think it's always vital to be connected. The early church in Acts chapter 2 stayed connected. And then when we're not able to gather like we'd like to, it's still maybe even more vital to be connected. And you'd be amazed, even just a quick text to check on somebody, pray for somebody. But I want you to stay, connected and find somebody to connect. Hey, I want to do something right before I minister the word. We're doing a Jesus Is series. We celebrated our fathers last Sunday, but we really never had the opportunity to do what I'm getting ready to do. During this transition, we announced online we had a new associate pastor. And because we didn't want to wait. Pastor Lawrence, we sent him to our Apache Junction campus, and they're having church out there in the building and in the community, in their homes, just like we are. And I did announce, but I want to re-announce, Pastor Jill Skolrud is our new associate pastor. And Pastor Jill, would you stand? And I want to give her an applause and a special gift this morning. Thanks, Pastor. Excited. I mean, she's been in ministry as long as we have, or longer, at least as long, and ordained minister with the Assemblies of God. And we're just so thankful for the experience and anointing that she brings to the table. And obviously she's female, but she's qualified either way. She brings a smart, she's smarter than I am, and I need somebody as my associate that's smarter than I am, intelligent. And but just so thankful too. I'm really, as many of y'all know, and people hear this around the country, I'm pro anybody in the ministry, but I'm pro female in the ministry. I've been an advocate for females in the ministry for over 30 years. And so, because it's in the scripture, it's scriptural, because we all go by scripture. But so, but it is, we've had females on our board, on our staff, first associate pastor though. So again, she's been a pioneer all her life. You might as well keep pioneering, girl. But we love you and appreciate you, and we're thrilled about our season in ministry. And it's good. God is good. Well, now, are you ready for the word? I'm ready for the word. We will continue with our Jesus Is series in, I believe it's second Sunday of August. Oh, one other thing. Our children are meeting afterwards, and so far it'll be our fourth week. And they're meeting in here. The parents are staying. Our nursery is open until this service ends. And then you can go get your babies and bring them in here. But our kids are growing. I'm really passionate just as passionate about discipling our children in this season. So if you, we don't mind you getting up and going in and out. That never bothers me anyway. But if your child needs to go to the restroom, go with them. Because typically, if we were in a little different setting in the rooms, we have, but we want everybody to be safe in all we do, making a safe place to worship. At least now, folks, and I know about the spike in Arizona, but I feel like that we have to, and we're, all of us wore, most all of us wore face masks in. That's a choice, but we're recommending it. But we're just trying to be safe. And we're going to press forward and worship under the roof as well. So just listen to the Lord, listen to the Holy Spirit, always trying to do what's best for us, for you, for the church. And so we press on at work, at home, at school, at church. And so I just so appreciate the good spirit. Everybody's had a really, really good attitude regardless of your viewpoints. We all have a little bit different viewpoint in this trial that we're in across our country. And that's okay too. I stay up. I read all the stuff. I read one professional says one thing. The other professional says another thing. And so, but I do respect everybody's viewpoint. And that's what this is all about. Love, respect, loving Jesus, loving each other. And so thank you. And everybody, whatever their viewpoints have been on a variety of issues, y'all have all been super. And at home, here this morning, and some are bouncing back and forth online and under, but your attitude has really been super. And I personally just want to thank you for that. Because, you see, if I make a decision to take us one way, there's a group that says, no, that's not the way we all go, Pastor. And then if I make a decision to go exactly the opposite way, there's another group that says, Pastor, that's just not right. And that's normal for all of us, but you've all been good. You've all been great. You've been sweet with your viewpoints. And I'm on the tip of the missile, so I really appreciate it. I'm out there flying, you know, right on the very tip of the missile, and nobody appreciates your attitude and your love and support more than I do, I will guarantee you. Praise the Lord. I'm getting into my preaching time. It's, not many in here will remember this, but back in the 1950s was when Superman came about. I was born in 58, and I can remember 4 or 5 years old. Man, you know what the hot Christmas gift was? A Superman outfit, man, with the cape and everything. But George Reeves, that may ring a bell with somebody, was the first Superman. The first Superman, too, was in black and white. So, I mean, man, when and even in the 60s, there were very few color televisions, believe it or not. But so when you got that suit, you went to Sears and Roebuck in those days and you saw that Superman symbol and cape. I mean, that's what you had to have. And I can remember, I didn't get one at first. I had a friend, Tony Scott. I mean, he always got all the best toys before I did. That's why I was good friends with Tony. And he got the first Superman outfit. And we lived in a two-story farmhouse. I loved it. I had a big room. My upstairs room was almost the size of the youth room. But I could walk out on the porch. There's a porch underneath. I could go out on the window and walk out on the porch on the tin roof. And I can remember me, I said, Tony, you can fly in that thing. This is a true story. And I said, and he wouldn't share it with me all day. I mean, he just wore it. I didn't have one. And I said, we're going to go out on the way. He said, you can't fly in this. I said, Superman can fly. He puts a cape on. He can fly. I said, let me show you. Will you let me wear it? I'll show you. He said, sure. So we changed clothes and he got in some other clothes and I put on the Superman outfit and I got through the window and I was getting ready to jump because I was convinced you could fly. And it must have been the good Lord, sovereign. Mom come around the corner, down in the yard. What are you boys doing up there? I said, Mom, I'm Superman, and I'm getting ready to fly. And she goes, ah! Don't do it. but Mom, Superman can fly. She said, but you can't, and you're going to get a spanking if you try. And Mom was always into the fly swat, so I didn't. But thank God I didn't. I'd have broke my neck. I might not even be here today. Well, I mentioned that to mention this. I mean, back in the day, you know, most movie stars, they would show up at a little league game and sign autographs. But George Reeves, he'd come to the PTA meeting. He'd go to the little league games, the school programs, smallest town, largest town. And he would wear his Superman costume. And, you know, he'd give out autographs and shake hands. I mean, you could touch Superman. And, of course, a lot of times he was challenged. Kids would come up and said, okay, Superman, can I throw a rock at you? And he said, well, he would let kids throw rocks at him. So they'd bounce off of him, you know, and he'd pretend like he wasn't hurting. Of course, he was, or they'd say, can I kick you in the shins? Many times, for some reason, kids, they kick him in the shins. And he'd go, on the inside, he's going, but, you know, he was one day, a little guy, I don't remember how old, the story really didn't say, in 1953, brought his dad's loaded Colt 45. And you know what he wanted to do? Remember, bullets bounced off Superman. And he's a better, look, George Reeves is a better man than I am. He talked the little boy down. This is how he talked him down. And just instead of giving up the gig, he said, you know, if you shoot this, bullets will bounce off of me, because they do. But they're liable to bounce off and hit other kids and adults in the crowd. And so the little guy put his gun down. But and George continued to visit, but he never went in his Superman costume again. Nobody is bulletproof. We live our lives sometimes like we're bulletproof. I am very capable of getting myself in trouble. It seems like, and I'm not going to pick on anybody, but the younger I was, the more bulletproof I thought I was. Right? But I'm not picking on anybody. I just thought I could get away with some things in my 20s, but really I couldn't get, I thought I could get away with some things in my 30s. Didn't work that way. Thought I could get away with some things in my 40s. You know, we kind of get this idea that we're bulletproof and that we can cross the lines and step over guidelines and maybe we get away with it. But I'm telling you, at my age, I've found out none of us are bulletproof, and I've taken enough bullets to know. Yeah. We all, like sheep, need protection. We need the protection of the Lord. And today we're going to talk about Jesus as the gate. We understand that he's been a lot of things. He's love. He's the word. He is intolerant of certain things. He's a good shepherd. And today we're going to talk about Jesus being the gate. And we, like sheep, need the protection of Jesus all of our days on this earth. Every one of us need protection. We're not bulletproof. John 10, and let's read a few verses this morning. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Everybody say Jesus. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow them because they know his voice. but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech. He's illustrating. He's using a figure of speech. But the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate of the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate." I want to say it again. Jesus is the gate. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." Last verse, 10. And I use this verse quite often over in a year's time. The thief, everybody knows who the thief is, right? The devil. The thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and life abundantly. Amen to abundant life. Amen. Amen for abundant life. We're going to talk about today Jesus being the gate. Jesus, of course, the shepherd. Jesus being our protector. Maybe even this. Jesus being Superman. Jesus is the only Superman. And Superman is for us and not against us. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, in Christ, I don't just preach this and teach this. I believe this with my whole heart. Everything for abundant life is found in Jesus. And without Christ, and without walking in Christ, you can find some joy and some happiness in other places, but you'll never know abundance without following Christ. And Jesus, he's promised that the thief's going to come, he's going to steal, he's going to try to kill, he's going to try to destroy, he's going to tempt, he's going to do all those things. But Jesus has promised us abundant life. He said, "I'm the gate." He's the way or the opening. Everybody knows what a gate is. Depending on where you're from, you know what a gate is. If you're in the city, the gate looks, you know, it's a gate to your backyard or the gate here. If you're in the country, you understand what a gate is. It's an opening. It's a way. It's a way into something. It's a gate. Jesus is the gate of salvation. Whoever enters through that gate will be saved. Isn't that good news? See, to understand abundant life, everybody say abundant life. If you're at home, say abundant life. Then you've got to know that He's the way to salvation. And there's so many things that we could talk about. But the fear of death is a big, big deal. Right? In fact, the fear of death can be a prison. I mean, it can be a total prison. Now, we know if you've got Christ in your heart, that fear is taken away, because we know that this life is like a mist that appears for a little while and vanishes. We're passing through. If we live to be 100, we're passing through. We know that there's something better for eternity that we find in Christ. Can I get an amen on that? And that takes away that fear. Look, and I have to stay focused, but you know, I've done more funerals than I can count over the years, probably several hundred. I don't know. So many I can't count. When people have known Christ as Savior and the people around them know Christ, of course you miss your loved one. Of course there's a grieving. Of course there's a sadness. But there's no fear of death when you've got Jesus Christ in your heart as Lord, as Savior. And even in those rooms, there's still a peace. There's still a joy because people understand salvation. But I've been in funeral rooms this size and smaller where most of the people in that room didn't have a clue about salvation, didn't understand eternal life found in Christ. And I'm going to tell you what it was like, even for me, and I know who he is. It was horrifying. People were horrified that one could go so soon. People were horrified because, listen, when somebody dies, we think about it. We think about our own immortality. We think about our own mortality, don't we? And it's not horrifying when you know Jesus Christ as Savior because you know there's something better later. But people live in fear. Fear's a strong, strong thing. I could think of so many things and I don't want to get bogged down on the fear thing. But even with this COVID crisis and the riots and the this and that, people are scared to death. And maybe even legitimately, we should be concerned. We should be wise. But we don't have to be afraid. Have you ever heard somebody try to sell you gold that didn't leverage fear? Listen to the commercials. Boy, the commercials, they go crazy. Stock market's going down. Economy's going to crash. Better buy gold. It's a fear tactic. And I'm all for investing in gold. If y'all got gold, get you some. Fear. Fear, to some degree, has gripped our country, has gripped our state. Not that it's not always there, but there is a degree of fear. Professionals are afraid. People in churches are afraid. People in schools are afraid. People in business are afraid. People at restaurants are afraid. There's a lot of people, and God bless you. Stay in, stay safe, stay healthy. If you're unhealthy, but if you're at home this morning, don't be afraid. Not accusing you of being afraid. Really not. If you're here this morning, don't be afraid. Jesus is the gate to salvation. I'm going to be wise. I'm going to be smart. I'm going to do the deal. Why do I wear the face mask? Because I love people. That's the only reason I wear the face mask. I set my view aside for others. And you know you can come in, take them off, all that thing. It's the love of others. In this season, let's love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then let's love our neighbors as ourselves. Right? 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 If you've got Jesus in your heart this morning, you don't need to be afraid. Don't be afraid. Holler to your neighbor 16 feet over and say, "Don't be afraid." World War II, I don't know, I got to skip a story. I got off on a roll there. Fear of death can be a prison. The U.S. In World War II, take Guam. A Japanese soldier, because he was afraid, went underground. He found a cave. You know what he lived on? Mice and rats and snakes. A year later, Japan surrendered in 1945. 27 years later, they found this Japanese soldier running around on the island. He'd been living in a cave and living on rats and snakes and edible plants for 27 years. He didn't know the war was over. He was afraid. He was hiding. The war had been over 27 years. Let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, the war was won. He took the price. The nails for our sin were nailed to him on the cross. When he said it is finished, it was finished. He paid a total debt for all our sin, and we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But when he said it was finished, the debt had been paid. They put him in a tomb. He was raised on the third day, and because of what Jesus did and what he's doing this morning alive at the right hand of the Father, The war is over. There's peace in the hearts of God's people. There's peace because He is the gate to salvation. We're so afraid. Did you know in the early 1800s, the thought of the day by all the experts that you didn't eat tomatoes? You know why you didn't eat tomatoes? They're poison. All the way up to 1820. You'll die if you eat tomatoes. For centuries, not one person had enough guts to try one. I don't know that I would have been a tomato eater either. They'll kill you. Oh, tomatoes. Just think. If we still believed that, we wouldn't have salsa. What a sin. Dear. Whew. Robert Gibbon Johnson on the Boston Square announced days in advance that if anybody wanted to come, he was going to bring a bushel of tomatoes to the square in Boston, which wasn't a very big town in 1820, and he was going to eat a ton of this poisonous fruit called tomatoes. The spectators, and they came out by dozens and dozens and dozens, and they all came out to watch him die. And they were shocked after the colonel got up eating about 10 or 12 tomatoes and never walked. Fear. Power of fear. People who bought the tickets in the Titanic were sincerely convinced that the ship was unshakable. Sincerity alone did not keep them. I'm transitioning you, believe it or not. Save them from death. Which leads me to the second point. Jesus is the gate of security. It's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to be secure, isn't it? Isn't it nice to be secure in who we are in Christ? To have that assurance of salvation. Not that He just made me safe the day I invited Him in, but He kept me safe all these years. Right? I mean, look at the security company ads. Not all of them, but many of them. Maybe even a majority of them, but many of them. And I'm all for security systems. Please don't misunderstand me. If you've got alarms and security systems and all that, praise the Lord, especially in these times. I'm almost ready to say something I shouldn't, but boy, I really want to say it. You can have security on the outside and the inside of your house. We have amendment rights, don't we? That's just having fun. Jesus is a security gate. We have a security door. You got to get through that door to get through the other door. Right? Jesus is a security gate. He's the gate of security. Because see, if you're going to have a, let me come back. If you're going to have abundant life, one, you got to be saved. You got to be in. But two, you've got to have the assurance that you can keep that salvation and that security and that assurance that we have in Christ. Because again, there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be plagues. Read the scripture. There will be climate change. There's always been climate change. There will be new diseases. There will be new viruses. There will be new challenges. We need a measure of safety in which to live, don't we, while we're here? I mean, heaven's great, but we're here. We don't want it to be hell here, do we? We can have the abundant life by coming through the gate. Now, in those days, and I went to a trip to Tanzania almost 2 years ago now, a year and a half ago, and there were a lot of shepherds in the country where we went in Tanzania, and they built these great big sheepfolds out of thorns, some kind of thorn tree. Everything in Tanzania had a thorn on it. Everything. I thought Arizona had thorns. Tanzania had thorns that had thorns on the thorns. And so they build these big sheep pens. It's only got one entry, but they build them out of thorns. That's the way they did even back here, back in the days of when Christ walked the earth. They built them out of thorns. If the farmer or the herder had a little bit of money, he might build them out of stone, you know, something a little more portable. But these, and I saw them, we stopped and pulled off, and they're narrow. The pen may be as big as this room or twice as big as this room because they have a lot of sheep. But the doorway's not any wider than this step right here. Maybe 6 feet, maybe a little wider, 6 or 8 feet wide, maybe 8 feet. They didn't have gates or doorways that swung on hinges. Even in Tanzania today, nor in those days, most of the time they didn't have gates. Have you moved a brick wall lately? You know what happened? The shepherd would either stand in the gate or lay down in the gate at night. That's what Jesus is talking about in this context. The shepherd himself was the gate. Wow. If anything got to the sheep, listen now, if anything was going to get to the sheep, they had to come through the shepherd. I know, Superman, Super Jesus. Once you're here, his life, trial, people, they got to come through Jesus to get to you. I'm feeling secure even saying it. Now, we're supposed to, when the shepherd leads you out to pasture, follow him. Some follow and some don't. But you're not getting out at night. Or if you try to get out, and you all have a choice, even to get out when it's unsafe, you have to go through Jesus. There's a twofold principle here. Well, we just read on this earth we'll experience tribulation. There'll be trial. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he's come to give us abundant life. But I tell you what, it gives me a security to know that any trial I may be in, it had to come through Jesus. And that I'm still safe. If plague breaks out all across the country, I'm still covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. If the economy crashes, it had to come through Jesus because I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. The thief comes to steal and kill, destroy. He's got to come through Jesus, and the enemy can't get through Jesus. But whatever comes through Jesus, you say, well, why do Christian people get sick? Some do and some don't. And it has nothing to do with faith or lack of faith most of the time. Let me tell you that. But if I'm going through a personal trial and I love Jesus Christ with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind, and I don't understand what's going on, I still got to live by the principle, well, by the Jesus is for me and not against me. He's the good shepherd of my soul. He's the gate and the protector of my life. Whatever I'm going through, he doesn't even make sense to me, Lord, but it had to come through you. And when I understand that deep in my spirit, I know everything's still going to be all right. I can start guessing. Maybe he's shaping me. Maybe there's some things in my life he wants to get out. Maybe he's refining me, and maybe I'll get it right and maybe I won't. But one thing I'll get right is Jesus Christ is for me and not against me. He's the shepherd of my soul. He's the gate that protects me, and anything that comes to me had to come through him. Just like it did Job. And if it come through him, eventually when I walk through it all and work through it all and pray through it all and live through it all and believe through it all, it'll be okay. That's a simple principle, but it's so strong. It'll keep you in those times. Well, if it's okay with you, Jesus, I'll be okay. If it came through you, Lord, it'll be okay. I'm going to be okay. And let me tell you something else. If you're going to walk out of that pen, and some can walk out of that pen. I don't have time to teach that yet. It said the sheep know his voice and they follow him. There's some sheep that know his voice and won't follow him. That's two different things for another day. See, everything outside that sheep pen or the symbol we're using today, it's bad. It's dangerous out there. There's wolves out there. There's enemies out there. There's garbage out there. The wages of sin will always be death. The fruits of a sinful life. Look, you may think you're bulletproof, living the way you're living, compromising where you're compromising. You're not bulletproof. Sooner or later, it all comes due. So you have to choose it. Jesus will hem you in. He'll say, don't go out. You know, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, that's scriptural. You need to change your life. I mean, he will do everything over and over and over and over. And if you walk through him, he'll go out and get you and pull you back in, love you and forgive you all over again. More times than I can count. It's a thing called grace and mercy. But some of y'all keep stepping over the line. Some of y'all are keep stepping through the gate and think you're not going to get hurt. Because he did give us a choice. He hemmed me in. Dear Lord, I went to college. Couldn't get away. I'd live in all kinds of ways. I run to Florida. Of course, I was going to straighten up out of college. I was going to get some things straight after I grew up a little bit. You know, I was bulletproof. Everywhere I turned, there he was. Even in my misbehaviors, Lord, why'd you have to show me that now? I'm having a good time. I thought you was only at the church house, Lord. What are you doing out here while I'm misbehaving? He's the gate. Oh, I step right over the gate. Oh, but you can't. Oh, woo. Isn't Jesus good? If he hadn't run me down over and over and over, I guarantee you I wouldn't be here today. That's the keeping power of Jesus Christ. Even after I radically committed my life to Jesus, and I did one day, I've been so imperfect since then. If it wasn't for the keeping power, if it wasn't for the gate, there's so many times I would have walked outside that sheepfold. Even by accident we do it. We get in the flesh. We get attitudes. We say things we shouldn't say. And all the other things. I'm not going to get into the list. The list of sin is as long as that, isn't it? Thank God he blocks the way. Not only does he forgive you, not only will he cleanse you, not only will he forgive you 70 times 7 when you repent and turn to him, he will try to keep you from doing it. That's a thing called grace. But not only that, he will keep you from misbehaving. He's the gate. He'll block your way. You go right, you shouldn't go right. Whoop, there's the hands of Jesus. Hope you're walking that narrow way. It's a narrow way. It's a narrow gate. He's in the gate. He is the gate. He's not a gate. He is the gate. He is the keeper of our soul. And we all sit here today because he's kept us. How far astray would we have gone without the gate? Who knows how far I would have strayed. And I got way off my notes right after Superman. So I got to wheel this thing in. I got to land this plane somewhere. Aren't you glad for the... I'm glad he's the gate to salvation. I'm glad he's the keeper of my soul, even when I want to step out of bounds. You step out of bounds, he's right there. Oh, gosh. Isn't God good? Jesus is the gate of sufficiency. Jesus is enough. He's the gate of salvation. He's the gate that gives me peace. I need... Now, don't go out there and try to misbehave just to see what he'll do. Don't. You're going to take a bullet. Oh, Lord, he's so kind and patient, isn't he? Dale, I tried to hem you in. You just found a way out. Crawl under the briars. Where I come from is briars, not briars. Well, that's where Darla comes from, Eastern Kentucky. But he's the sufficient gate, the strong gate. You ever heard the statement, well, they're just looking for greener pastures? Well, and then you hear the comment, well, it's not always greener on the other side. How many took that bullet a time or two? I have. Oh, it just looks better over there. Bang! Wasn't that green after all? To have abundant life, you've got to be saved. To have abundant life, you've got to be at peace. You've got to know He's got it. He's got you. He's got you. And you got to know that He's sufficient. He's sufficient. He's the provider to have abundant life. Look, I want you to have abundant life. I want you to have houses and homes and families and good careers. The Lord's in all that. I want you to, dadgone it, I want you to have a few toys where I can come play on those toys or with you. You know, would somebody get two or three side-by-side four-wheelers where we can go out and four-wheel again? You know, y'all stay, I'm trying to stay balanced. But none of it is the key to abundant life. Without Christ, it still all will leave you empty. I have some toys of my own and a beautiful life and a beautiful wife. Hey. A beautiful family, a beautiful home, a new fishing boat that I actually catch fish on. Well, but it doesn't fulfill. It's not the key to my abundance. Jesus is the gate or the key to my abundance. He's sufficient. Psalm 23 says this. Some of y'all could, we learned this one in Sunday school, and I just do a few verses. Read it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He leads me beside the still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Oh, y'all know it, don't you? Hallelujah. If you haven't read that psalm in a while, read 23. If you want to read another one, read 91. Yeah, a lot of people nodding. You've been reading 91 the last few months, haven't you? It's a good one. See, there's a book written, I mean, years ago, Philip Keller, and I read it. It says, a shepherd looks at Psalm 23. It must be 40, 50 years old. It's still on my shelf. I haven't touched it in years. But he talks, the whole thing is around Psalm 23 and sheep and the things I'm talking about in John chapter 10. You know, when it talks about the gate, the shepherd makes us lie down in green pastures and quiet waters and soul restoration. That's peaceful, isn't it? That's a safe place. For sheep to do that, though, they just won't do that on their own. Number one, and I'm going to hit these quick, hungry sheep will not lay down and go to sleep. Because they'll stay on their feet and get another mouthful. Hey, you ever go to bed hungry? Not often. We learned it last week, Jesus is the bread of life. He's sufficient. We don't have to be hungry sheep when we have Christ. They can't live in fear. They have to be unafraid. And we talked about that. They are not going to lay down. They're ready to flee at any minute. But when they feel the peace of the shepherd, they're not fearful. They'll lay down. They won't lay down. And I was a cattle farmer, and it's not too different, really. And we raised hundreds of head of cattle for years back in Kentucky. Is if something's bothering them, like fleas or flies, I guarantee you'll never see a sheep laying down with flies all around them. There's got to be a contentment. They've got to be comfortable to lay down. Even and with cattle, it's the same way. There was always one or two ornery ones. There's always a black sheep in every herd. I'm glad Jesus loves black sheep, though. Come on. But usually if with the cattle, if they were wild and couldn't be tamed, we'd have to cull them out of the herd because they caused the whole herd to go crazy. You couldn't herd them. They couldn't run. And that one, you know, we put them on grain for about 6 weeks in the barn, and we culled them right to the freezer. You go, you slice into that big filet, you ornery thing. True. Sheep will lay down when there's harmony in the flock. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Jesus is all sufficient. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He's Jehovah Nissi, our banner. It's a war banner that fights for us. He's Jehovah Rapha. He heals us. He gives us peace. Hallelujah. He's Jehovah Shalom, the God of our peace. That's who Jesus is. That's who the gate is. He's the gate of salvation. He's the gate to security. He's the gate to sufficiency. He is sufficient. Don't look at other places. The world is lying. You won't find it. There's found in no other name than the name of Jesus Christ. There's a story of Sunday school, and I close with this short story. A group of kids in a Sunday school. It was a wide range. They didn't have juniors and seniors. And we're putting all ours together right now for a season. But anywhere from 4 to 10, 11, 12-year-old kids in there. And the teacher had given them the assignment to read and memorize the entire Psalm 23. And so the teacher got there and got them together and asked for a volunteer. Who has memorized Psalm 23. Well, several hands went up. The youngest of the hands was a four-year-old girl. And the teacher's thinking to herself, it was a lady, gosh, maybe she has memorized it, but I don't want her, you know, there's other kids here. So in her mind, she was a little skeptical. But she let the little girl, she called on the little girl. And you're going to have to say it up front. So the little girl gets out of her seat, comes up front. Now, this is cute. She goes, is that cool? She said, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. She bowed. She left. Says it all, doesn't it? To be in the shepherd's care. To know that he's the gate. To know that he's the gate of salvation. The gate of security. The gate of sufficiency. He's the gate. And that's all I want. Lord, we thank you today. to be here to even laugh together is so important. Talk to each other, even from a distance. To be with our people around the state and the country is still important. And today, Lord, I know for me personally, Lord, I don't even know where I would be unless you manifest as the gate. Where would I be, Lord, if you hadn't been laying or standing in the way? You are the way and the truth and the life. So thankful this morning. Will you stand with me this morning, church? If you're at home, stand with us this morning. I want you to know we're standing every Sunday together to pray before we move on with our day. As we stand, is there may be some here this morning said, I need to make Jesus Lord and Savior of my life. I want to know the Shepherd. I want to know the Savior. I want to know what you talked about this morning, Dale. If that's you, would you slide your hand up where I can see you? And we'll pray with you before we leave here this morning. Said, I want to make Christ my Savior. Then let me pray for you. There is one. Okay, I see that hand now. Young man, I see your hand. I want you to follow me in this prayer, okay? And we're going to follow with you. He's holding his baby and giving his heart to Christ. It's worth the whole trip in. Let's help him. Will y'all pray with me? Young man, follow me in this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, you see my hand. More importantly, Lord, you see my heart. And I'm asking you today to come in and be my Lord and my Savior. Lord, like all men, I've fallen short of the glory of God. I confess that. And I'm asking you right now, Jesus, to forgive me of my sins. To come in my life. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me. And save my soul. Today, Lord, I become yours, and you become mine. Amen. Young man, just wave at us. We love you. You can stay back there. But wait, I want y'all to look and give him a hand. We love you, man. He'll be a gate to you. He'll take care of you. He will. He will. Church, I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to let the children have their time. Aren't you glad he's the gate? People say to me, well, Pastor Dale, you're one of those longevity guys. You know, now I'm the old man, not the young man anymore. What is the key? I said, realizing you need him every day. And realizing that he's got you every day. I'm telling you, there's 15 things. The times that he protected me and my soul. The times he kept me from trouble. Need him every day. Can't live without him. can't live outside the sheepfold. Are you with me on that one? How many in here this morning has He protected you and kept you? Let me see you. Okay, did you do it on your own? You know, we know we did. We're not that good. With Jesus, we are that good. Don't want to misunderstand me. But left to our own doing. So Lord, I thank You for the wonderful men and women of God this morning that are in the house. Thank You for one that has come in to be part of this family. Lord, be the gate in our life. In this season, Lord Jesus, we need You to show Yourself as the gate of our lives, the keeper of our soul, the keeper of our lives here. Holy Spirit, be around us to the right and the left and the rear guard and the front guard. Be our refuge and our fortress, our help, our ever-present help in times of trouble. Be the gate in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Pastor Jill's going to dismiss you.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to share in the comments how God is speaking to you through His Word. If you would like to join our online church community, be sure to subscribe and click the bell icon on our YouTube page so you're notified when we post a new weekly sermon. You can also learn more about The Rock Church by visiting our website, rockag.com. If you are in the Scottsdale, Phoenix area, make sure to come visit us for Sunday morning service at 10 a.m. We would love to meet you in person. And if you would like to support this ministry today, you can donate by visiting our website and clicking the Giving tab at the top of the page, or by texting the amount you would like to give to the number 84321. Then follow the instructions in the text reply. Thanks again for joining us. We look forward to hearing from you.